We're going to continue today our series in Proverbs, but we're also going to wrap it up, and we're going to be talking about truth today. Now, that said, even though we're concluding this series, I want to challenge you to continue to read the chapter of Proverbs that corresponds with the day that we're living. So tomorrow is the 10th of April. Read Proverbs chapter 10. Tuesday is the 11th, so read Proverbs chapter 11. I want to encourage you to continue to do that. Don't stop just because the series is coming to a conclusion. Proverbs has a great deal to offer wisdom into our lives, and it's not going to hurt you to continue to read that every day, all the days of your life for that matter. Now, as we dive into this last message in the series, I want to ask if you've ever seen one of these in person, one of these machines. Anybody? This is a scene from the movie Meet the Parents. It's a lie detector machine. Anybody ever seen one in person? A few of you have. Yeah, I won't ask you why, but a few of you have. Now, what if I were to tell you that I have a lie detector machine here today? And what if I were to tell you that I'm going to, you know, hook myself up to this and that I'll allow you to ask questions, you know, about my personal life, my private life? I mean, some of you are thinking, yes, I have questions for the pastor. And you know, and you could see my heart rate up on the big screen, and you would be able to tell if I was lying or not. And you know, some of you would have quite a bit of fun with that. Along the lines of lying, this is not a real lie detector machine. It's just an old briefcase. They're much harder to get a hold of than I thought they would be. So, but you understand the idea. Now, what if instead of connecting myself up to this, that I went out and grabbed a few of you, and when I say you, I mean you, and brought you up here, and we connected you to a lie detector machine and began to ask you questions about your life and your family and your finances? I mean, I think we can probably all agree, to most of us, that would probably scare us quite a bit. One of our greatest fears, in fact, might be to be connected up to a lie detector. But here's what's interesting. God, when he created you, when he created me, when he created us, somehow he seemed to have put a sense of a lie detector into us, kind of born into us, an internal lie detector. And you can kind of learn to discern when someone is telling the truth or if they're lying to you. Do you remember the first time you were lied to? I don't know if it was the first time I was lied to, but when I was in first grade, I was probably about 7 years old. I still lived at Route 1, Box 118A, Coffeyville, Kansas. Rode the bus 2 miles to Deering Elementary School, and I had a best friend, and my best friend and I, we had told each other, we had promised each other that, hey, if you're ever captain at recess time to pick teams, you're going to pick me first, right? If I'm ever captain at recess time, I'll pick you first. Well, one day in first grade, we'd kind of had an argument that morning. I don't even remember what about, but we got to recess time, and you know what? He didn't pick me first. I realized that day that, you know, my friends will lie to me from time to time. As I've grown up and, you know, in a student and adult life, I mean, I've realized people are going to lie to me from time to time. Even people in the church are going to lie to me. Even Christian people are going to lie to me. We know it doesn't stop there. Employers and employees will lie. Sometimes, sadly, pastors will lie. Sports athletes will lie. Politicians will lie about things. Musicians will lie. Sometimes we know spouses will lie to one another for some reason or another about certain things. Have you ever had a moment where you just wanted to stand up and just yell at the top of your lungs, would everybody just tell the truth? Could you just be honest for a moment? Now, not only do I remember one of the first times I was lied to, I also remember the last time I was lied to. It was Friday morning. I got a call. I'll try to keep this brief. Is this Seth Thomas? Yes, it is. Hi, Seth, this is George, and it wasn't George, but I can't remember his name right now, and that's irrelevant. Hi, Seth, this is George from AT&T. We're just calling to let you know that tomorrow in your area, the LTE platform on your cell phone is going to be down for a little while, and because of that inconvenience to you, we're going to credit your account with $30, and if you don't see that on your next month's statement, I'd like to invite you to call back in, and we'll get that taken care of for you. doesn't seem right to me, but I'm thinking, okay, I'm kind of going along with things. And, you know, my internal lie detector is kind of beeping, you know, and I'm thinking, something's not right here. And he says, now, while we've been on the phone, you should have received a text message from me with a 6-digit PIN. Can you confirm that number back to me? And I said, George, I'm sorry, but in this day and age, there's a lot of scams that go on, and this just doesn't set well with me. And he said, Mr. Thomas, you should be able to see from your caller ID that I'm calling you from AT&T's 1-800 number. And I looked, and I recognized that number. It's a well-known 800 number. And I said, okay, and I'm thinking, this just isn't right. George, here's the number, and I gave him the number, and thus ensued a long Friday for me. Somebody walked into an AT&T store in Mississippi later Friday afternoon because they'd added themselves as an authorized user to my AT&T.com account because of the PIN number I gave them, and they purchased a cell phone under my account. Somebody else's credit card number, don't know whose that was, and I won't be liable for any of it, but it was quite annoying because what they did was they took my wife's line on our account and they upgraded her line and bought a cell phone. I'm here to tell you this morning, just so you know, AT&T, and I'm fairly certain Sprint, Verizon, any of your cell phone carriers will never call you, okay? So enough said, you can just take that free lesson for you this morning, a lesson at my expense. That was the last time I was lied to that I know of, Friday morning at about 10:30. Let's take a look at a few verses from Proverbs as we jump into this study. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 12. A good-for-nothing scoundrel, George, is a person with a dishonest mouth. Just tell us what you think, Solomon. I mean, really? That's what I love about Proverbs. I mentioned this the very first week we were together in Proverbs. I said, it's kind of like tweets for your soul. Proverbs doesn't pull any punches. He tells it how it is. But what about this one? Proverbs 12, verse 22. Lips that lie are disgusting to the Lord, but honest people are his delight. That word people is kind of a generic term, and we could kind of substitute if we wanted. So honest students are his delight. Honest employers are his delight. Honest pastors are his delight. Honest parents are his delight. Parents, do you realize how important it is that you are honest and forthright with those that you love and lead and are raising up for the next generation? Take a look at this excerpt from an article in New York Magazine. Kids lie early, often, and for all sorts of reasons. To avoid punishment, to bond with friends, to gain a sense of control. But now there's a singular theory for one way the habit develops. They're just copying their parents. Parents, a lot of times, it trickles down to our children. This issue of truth or deceit or truth-telling trickles down to those that we love and lead. Here's another verse from Proverbs 13. He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. Chapter 15, verse 4, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Have you ever had your spirit crushed because of painful words, deceitful words? Almost every single week I will hear from someone that is had their spirit broken because of deceitful words. Over the past few months, in fact, these are some of the things I've heard in person. He said he would always be there, says the wife whose husband is no longer there. She said she had it under control, says the husband who just now is discovering his wife's addiction to prescription pills. They said that they loved each other, that they were in love, say the children who are wondering if dad and mom are getting a divorce. They said they would pay me as soon as I got the work done, says the contractor who worked for 3 weeks and hasn't been paid at all. Now maybe you're thinking this morning, well Seth, I mean the issue of truth and deceit, I mean aren't there kind of levels to this? I mean, you know, there's kind of white lies and then there's, you know, big humongous lies. Aren't there kind of levels to this? I think sometimes we think that because we need that. We think we need that. But I have to tell you, when you study God's word, there are no levels of lying. Deceit is deceit. A lie is a lie. All lying is deceitful and it's sinful, it's wrong. Whether you're lying to someone else or you're lying to yourself, and we hopefully you know by now, we lie to ourselves all the time as well. I don't believe there are levels of it though. There does seem to be some kind of progression to it. Progression of deceit. And so maybe there's stages of deceit. And I'm going to put this on the screen in a moment. This isn't on your notes, but maybe you ought to write this down, because it's kind of a diagnostic tool that you can kind of figure out, where am I on this progression of deceit in my life? And I would just speak especially to you young people in the room. If you don't get a handle on this quick, it is a slippery slope and will get out of control faster than you know. And so here's the first stage of deceit. You lie. You know when you tell a lie, and it kind of sparks a flame and can take out a whole forest if you're not careful. That's how a lie works. But if you don't confess that lie and deal with it immediately, then you move on to number two. You self-protect. You begin to tell lies about your lies. Did you know this? That lies, they travel in packs. I mean, lies need bodyguards. Lies need other lies to cover up lies. And so you begin to self-protect. And if you don't deal with it at that point, then you move on to number three. You develop a habit of being deceitful and lying about trivial things. And you get to a place where, you know, you're lying about what you had for lunch yesterday. And it's just this sense of exaggeration. You don't even know exactly what's spurring that on. But you begin to exaggerate little details, and you're lying about easy stuff, simple stuff, stuff that doesn't even matter. If you're not careful, you move on to self-deceive. You begin to believe a lot of the things that you're telling. And if you don't deal with it at that point, then you get to a place where you rationalize. And that's where not only do you think the things that you're saying are true, but for some reason, some twisted reason, you believe that it's okay, that you're doing this for a noble cause. And it's a slippery slope, the issue of deceit, the stages of deceit. And the book of Proverbs would teach us, would tell us, that if I'm deceitful, it will ruin my life. It will wreck my relationships. If you're deceitful, it will wreck your relationships with people around you and with your Father, God. And so Proverbs has some things to tell us about this issue of truth. So I want to cover three of them this morning. And the first one actually is quite humorous. But it says, if you want to be a more truthful person, speak less. That set in with some of you. Really, if you want to be a truthful person, speak less. Because if you talk less, then chances are you'll probably lie less, right? I mean, it's just mathematical. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19 says this: when words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. Proverbs says you can dramatically increase and elevate your level of truth-telling just by speaking less. Show some restraint to your words. You don't have to end every conversation. You don't have to share everything on your heart or mind. And I got to tell you, this verse is just a little more difficult for some people than others. And please don't throw anything at me. But it seems to be, even so, it's a little bit gender-related. Just bear with me. Come on. Statistics say that men speak about 7,000 words a day, and that women speak about 20,000 words a day. Statistics. I didn't do the research, okay? But statistics say. And some of you ladies are thinking, well, yes, because it takes two or three times of repeating something for the men around me to hear it. You're probably being honest about that. But here's the thing. Proverbs would tell us one of the ways to elevate our level of truth-telling is if we would speak less. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2 says this: the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. Everybody say gushes. Just gushes folly. 15, verse 28 says this: the heart of the righteous waits its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Chapter 17, verse 27. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even-tempered. The next verse, 28. Even if a fool is wise, if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. I really like what Mark Twain says about this concept. Maybe you've heard this before. But he says, it is better to keep your mouth shut and appear foolish than open it and remove all doubt. I mean, isn't that great? Some of you have been there before. But the book of Proverbs tells us you could dramatically be more truthful if you would just think about how you're going to communicate something. Think about what you're getting ready to say before you actually do it. Again, you don't have to be the one that always expresses everything that comes to mind. You don't have to participate in every conversation on Facebook. You don't have to defend every single political point. You don't have to do all of that. You could be much more truthful if you would just speak less. Here's another thing Proverbs tells us to do in regards to truth. Number two, speak truth. Speak truth into people's lives. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Speak truth into other people's lives. As I look back across the canvas of my life, if you will, there have been several times that people have spoken truth. They've had the guts, they've had the courage to speak truth into my life. And when they've done that, they've been conversations that I usually never forget. A few examples for you this morning. The first one was when I was 15 years of age. I can remember being at a Christ in Youth conference, as Chris was showing the video earlier today. Awesome experience for me. Went 4 years through high school to a different summer conference. I can remember being there, and the speaker that night, he was talking to this group of about 1,200 teenagers. And he was talking about how some of you, need to respond to a call of God on your life, to serve Him with your life in ministry. And I remember thinking, well, gosh, there's 1,200 people here, but I mean, it's like He's looking right at me. He's talking right to me in this conversation. And I don't know if you've ever felt like that. Have you ever been in a place where you're in a group of crowded people, and it's like, well, gosh, He's talking right to me. Maybe it's been at church. Is He reading my mail? How did He know? I mean, are you talking to me? I mean, how does He know that this is what I need to hear today? Trust me, it is not because I'm clever, okay? It's because God's Word and His Holy Spirit cuts through. Truth exposes things about ourselves that oftentimes we don't even know about ourselves. When I was 18, the summer of 1997, I was at a summer camp, a Christian camp called Camp Siokomo. Stands for Christian Youth of Kansas, Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma. Camp Siokomo. I was at this camp, and we had our youth group time one evening, and afterwards, my youth minister pulled me aside. He said, hey, I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes. I said, okay. And he began to speak truth into my life. I mean, I see what you're doing. I see, you know, how you're trying to, you know, set this course in your life, and that's great and all. And he was building me up and encouraging me for helping out with kind of some leadership responsibilities. But then he turned a corner, and he said, you know, that's great and all, but you have one life to live. And I want to encourage you, find a way, no matter what you're doing with your career, profession, or whatever it may be, hobbies, whatever, find a way to lead people to Jesus Christ with your one and only life. It's a conversation I'll never forget. Fast forward, I was 27. I was sitting at my desk in Mexico, and a good mentor friend of mine, Wayne Shaw, was challenging me to maybe go back to school. Have you ever thought about going back and to graduate school? I said, Wayne, I don't have time for that. I've shared this story with you before, but I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm leading this ministry. I don't have time for that. And Wayne said something that I'll never forget. We make time for what's important to us. And I've shared that principle with you over and over again. We make time for what's important to us. It changed my life. And so if I say I don't have time for something, maybe I need to make it more important in my life. If we make time for what's important to us. I've continued on the course in my adult life, and I've had a number of people speak truth into my life. And here's the thing about truth. Truth isn't always pleasant, is it? Sometimes truth stings a little bit. Sometimes it's painful. And if you're sitting here today and you're thinking, you know, I have this person that I really need to speak some truth into their life, but I just don't know how to do that. I want to offer two guardrails this morning to kind of keep you on that path. If you will, if you need to speak a painful truth into someone's life, here's the first kind of guideline. Number one, painful truth is best received in private. It's best received in private. There's often a temptation to kind of get a group of people together to go and talk with them. You know, well, we all care about them. We all know what's going on. And we just need to go and we need to talk to them. Can I just tell you, I've done that once to my recollection, and it didn't end well. And the reason it only happened once is because I know better now. We were serving in Mexico, and there were three of us couples, my wife and I and two other couples, and we were approached to go and visit with some folks about something going on in their life. And I know I'm being kind of vague here, but less than a minute into that conversation, maybe 2 minutes into that conversation, I recall thinking very clearly, this is not right. This is not going well. And we loved them, and they loved us, but let me tell you, our relationship after that was never the same. And it was probably due to the fact that we went together in a group to talk to them. And so if you have a painful truth to communicate, it's probably best received in private. Your biggest chance for positive results with that person is going to be if you handle that situation in private. I doubt there's a single person here today who lays awake at night or dreams at night thinking, man, tomorrow I just wish that someone would confront me publicly. Maybe one or two of you, you're weird. But the rest of the 99% of us, nobody wants that to happen. And so if you want your painful truth to be heard, to be accepted, chances are it's best received in private. Matthew 18, verse 15. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you've won your brother. Now, I recognize there are exceptions to that. But when possible, communicate a painful truth in private. Number two, painful truth is best received in the context of friendship. Again, I look back at my life and I consider times that people have spoken truth into my life. And here's what I've come to realize. The reason that I accepted it and heard it and probably applied it to my life oftentimes was based on them being a trusted friend. Someone that I looked up to. Someone that I valued their opinion. And I bet the same is true with you as well. When you've accepted truth from someone, chances are it was probably a trusted friend. Proverbs 27, verse 6 says this, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. In other words, what this is saying is an enemy is just going to tell you what you want to hear. They're going to butter you up. A friend is going to tell you what you need to hear. So an enemy is going to come along and you say, man, you're great. You're really good at that. You're amazing. I can't believe how you do that so well. And you know, I got your back. I'm on your team. I want to see you succeed. A friend comes along and says, hey, you're pretty good at that. I mean, you're amazing. I want to be on your team. I got your back. I hope you know you can trust me. By the way, you got some problems. I care about you. I mean, did you see what they did there? They love you. They do care about you, but they're not afraid to hurt you just a little bit. To call something out in your life. A friend is going to tell you the truth. They're going to tell you what you need to hear. So if you have a painful truth to share, try and handle that in private. Try and handle that in the context of friendship. Number three this morning, hear truth. We need to be willing to hear truth, to accept it into our lives. If someone is going to speak truth to you, you got to be willing to humble yourself and accept some of that. Because oftentimes when somebody brings us truth, what do? Well, we get quite defensive, right? I mean, it's easy for you to think, it's easy for me to think, well, who do you think you are on your high horse? I mean, you're no better than I am. I can see the faults in your life. Who do you think you are? I mean, we live in the same house. Who do you think you, I'm just kidding, by the way, but I mean, who do you think you are? We get defensive, but we need to be willing to hear truth. No matter where you are, somehow, some way, it's going to be difficult to hear truth about ourselves, but we've got to be willing to do so. One of the greatest themes of the Bible, in fact, Proverbs specifically talks about hearing painful truth in our lives, taking counsel, taking wisdom. Proverbs 15:31 says this, he who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. We'll be at home among the wise. Now I want to talk just a moment about constructive criticism, because that's what we're talking about. Offering constructive criticism into someone's life and accepting that constructive criticism. Now, the reason I want to talk about constructive criticism is because some of you think you're really good at it. And you offer it a lot. And this is what I know about constructive criticism. Constructive criticism can make you better. Constant criticism will make you bitter. You catch that? Constructive criticism can make you better. Constant criticism will make you bitter. And so let's not be the type of person that's just constantly criticizing. Let's make sure it's constructive. Our goal when we offer constructive criticism or speaking truth into someone's life is for them to hear it and accept it and apply it. I hope you know this, but it's not to get it off your chest. We feel better, don't we? Well, you know, I just needed to get this off my chest and tell you this. And then we walk away thinking that we, you know, well, we got it off our chest, but we just, they're not going to hear that. They're not going to accept that. They're not going to apply that to our life. And so we've got to keep our goal grounded in that we want them to hear it and accept it into their life. Again, the Bible and Proverbs, reoccurring theme, talking about being able to hear truth about ourselves in a way that we'll accept it. Now, as we wrap up this series today, and as I get to the end of this message talking about truth, I want to give you two truths about each and every one of us. Two overarching truths that the Bible says about each and every one of us in this room and really everywhere for that matter. Here's the first one. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. And this levels the playing field right off the bat. The eternal playing field. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. Every single one of us. Romans 3 verse 23. For all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. Not some. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No matter who you are, how bad you are, what you're doing, what you will do, we are all sinners in need of a Savior. That's the truth. Number two, anyone who accepts Jesus into his or her life will be saved. Anyone who accepts Jesus into his or her life will be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, you don't know me. You know, it doesn't matter who you are or if I know you or not. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you're doing or what you will do. If you accept Jesus Christ into your life, that's what matters. It will make all the difference in the world. One day, I promise you, if you've accepted Jesus into your life, if you live for him, if you've been baptized, I promise you, one day Jesus will stand next to you when it matters most. Here's a quick video clip I want you to take a look at of how important it is to have somebody standing with you. One of these days, if you have accepted Jesus into your life, it will change everything. Having him stand next to you, if you don't remember the words, your confidence will return. Having Jesus next to you will save your life. Here's the takeaway this week. What truth do you need to hear or speak this week? As we wrap up the series on the book of Proverbs, talking about truth today, what truth do you need to hear or speak this week? Maybe you need to speak a painful truth to someone, and so you need to consider those guardrails of doing so in private, of doing so in the context of a friendship. Maybe for you, you need to speak less. Maybe some of you, you need to hear truth spoken into your life. What truth do you need in your life this week? A great place for you to start if you're searching, if you're seeking. Not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, April 19th, we're going to have our starting point class where we talk about who Jesus is, what we believe the Bible teaches about him and about God, and how you can get involved in this church, kind of what we're trying to accomplish here in this valley. It's a free class from 6 to 8 p.m. I'd encourage you to sign up either in the hallway or online. It's a great opportunity to get connected with our church. But what truth do you need in your life this week? Let's pray together.